Move on to our next case, United States v. Dennis. Mr. Jones.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Bill Jones, and I represent the defendant appellant, David Dennis. May it please the court, I think the appropriate first step would be to essentially address what Judge Shabazz meant in this case when he indicated that the letters that were sent on behalf of the defendant before sentencing did not affect the would have no effect on sentencing. And I think that, simply put, that is what it is. And it means that the judge was not considering, in deciding what sentence Mr. Dennis would have, what his family had to say about his personality and his good traits, essentially. I think by ignoring those letters and giving them no consideration,
well,
it would...
Not clear that he gave them no consideration. He obviously wasn't impressed by them, but that's okay, right?
That would be okay, yes.
Right.
But I think a fair interpretation of him saying that they have no effect on sentencing, I think a fair interpretation of that statement would be that they have no effect. In other words, especially at this time...
Well, they didn't alter his view, because he went on after that to say they do attempt to convince the court of the reason as to what the sentence should be.
He does comment that he read them, but in his commentary that they have no effect on sentencing, I think that that what he meant to say is not unlike prior to Blakely and Booker, and this was right in between the two, they really did have no effect on sentencing. And he went on to provide two alternate sentences, one of 88 months if the guidelines were not mandatory, and one of 88 months if they were. I think coming to the identical conclusion would suggest that he was not considering those letters. And essentially failure to consider a characteristic, evidence of characteristic, would be in violation of 18 U.S.C. 3553 as well as 18 U.S.C. 3661, which does not allow for the court to limit the information concerning background, character, etc., of a person being sentenced.
So in your view, that any judge who receives a letter with regard to sentencing should read the letter?
He should read and consider it, yes.
I think he didn't read. There's no indication he didn't read them.
Well, yes, but I was answering the question.
Yeah, my question was he has to read it. In other words, you couldn't just give it to the probation officer and say, you look at it, I'm not going to read it.
No, I think he should have to read it because he would be limiting. If it's considered a limitation, a placement of a limitation on the information concerning background, I suppose that would be an alternate. He has to consider that letter, though.
Because as a sentencing judge, I never read letters like that.
I think that if the PSR were to contain a reference to the letters, or at least, but I think that they need to be considered as information regarding character, for instance, in this case of Mr. Dennis, and I don't think they were.
But as Judge Posner indicated and Judge Williams said, he did read them.
Yes.
And then isn't there another way to interpret the comment that he made when he acknowledges the content because he says it expresses support for him, and he says they don't affect the sentencing, but they do attempt to convince the court of the reason as to what the sentence should be, and they will be available to you. I mean, couldn't that also mean that, you know, given all the other factors that the court considered, you know, the fact that it was, I think, his daughter who he enlisted to help him sell the drugs and some of these other things, that certainly those things outweighed the letters. I mean, I understand it's not specifically stated by the court, but it could be subject to that interpretation, couldn't it?
I think it could be, but it would be a less compelling interpretation of what he said. I think a fair one is to first take the words as they came out of his mouth, and that is they do not affect sentencing. And then, as I mentioned, comparing his two sentences that he proposes, one under the guidelines if they were mandatory, which, as I mentioned, for instance, this, you know, the slip opinion from the Northern District of Indiana, which indicates that under the guidelines, family ties are not ordinarily relevant to determining the sentence under the guidelines. But now we have this case in which it's not mandatory. Admittedly, that's the Northern District of Indiana. But
what about letters from the public? Just talking about crimes in general, and this man should be punished because of the nature of the offense.
Well, I don't think that a letter from the public would be concerning the background, character, and conduct of that particular person.
It concerns the conduct of him, his conduct.
Well, it's commentary on the conduct, but that might be relevant.
My point, I guess, is it gets back. Now, this is in a regime prior to the sentencing guidelines, but letters from the public like that, or newspaper articles, or should that have an influence on what the judge does?
Yes. I think they should consider anything that would be relevant to a person's sentence. If it's submitted in one way or the other, I don't think they have to go out researching.
What statutory factors do these letters pertain to?
Pertain to his character under 3553. I don't have the specific sub.
Well, the letters really seem to be about the hardship to the family rather than about his character.
Well, they do reference, though, other personal characteristics, such as being a caring father, and things like that. But they do other mention hardship on the family itself.
A caring father is a pretty odd argument for leniency. Right.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that that's an odd argument.
People were good family providers and so on.
Well, if you don't believe the letter, that's one thing.
No, you believe that? No. I'm assuming the letters are true, but why would you think the fact that a person was nice to his family made him less of a criminal?
Well, it's just...
criminals have families.
I don't know that it makes him less of a criminal, but it's something to consider.
Hitler loved his dog. You know?
Well,
you rarely find people who are evil to every human being or animal they come in contact with, right?
Well,
so you could always have a letter pointing out to some good or characteristic of the defendant, whatever he'd done.
Well, I disagree. I have done sentencings where I've asked my client, is there anyone I can go to that could say a good word about you? And it's not that uncommon. People...
Sure. All right.
Well, victims of Ponzi schemes often write the judge saying, let him out so he can get us more money.
Well, he could consider that motive, I suppose, if he read that. The motive behind the letter. I have
no further
argument.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Reinhardt?
Good morning, Your Honors. David Reinhardt for the United States. This defendant contends that the district court did not consider the letters written by his co-defendant and family, and that is contrary to the record. The district court specifically stated that it read the letters. The district court described the content of the letters and chose to simply give it little weight. The court never said that it could not consider the letters. The court never said that it was ignoring those letters. And the district court sentenced this defendant consistent with the provisions of 3553A. Judge Shabazz specifically stated twice.
Had the government suggested a sentence?
Yes, Your Honor.
What did you suggest?
Your Honor, I believe the government suggested anywhere within the advisory guideline range. The court specifically stated that it imposes a sentence consistent with 18 U.S.C. 3553A using the guidelines as advisory. The court also talked about several of those factors, the seriousness of the offense, the amount of drugs that were involved in the case, the fact that the defendant had used his daughter in committing his crime, and also Judge Chavez talked about the need to deter Dennis and the community.
Do you agree there's a requirement that the judge has to read the letters he receives if they touch on the conduct or character of the defendant?
If the letters touch on any of the factors listed in 35,
regardless of who they come from,
if they touch, I believe if they touch on the factors that the district court is supposed to consider, specifically 3553A, that he should consider.
What if they're summarized in the pre-sentence investigation report? Can you rely on that?
Yeah, I think that is appropriate. If the probation officer reads the letters and summarizes the content of it, that is addressing the factors.
The judge receives 100 letters. Seems a little excessive to require him to read every word, handwritten letters and so on.
Certainly, and I think that's where the probation office can step in and still address those issues without having the judge listen to everything. Dennis was sentenced in this case within a properly calculated guideline range. There was no objections to that range. There was no argument that the sentence was not reasonable. We feel that the district court decision in this case should be affirmed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Reinhardt. Mr. Jones, how much time does he have? 2 minutes? Anything further?
Nothing further.
Okay. And you were appointed, were you not?
Yes.
Well,